right now with the way that, like, they got swept by Philadelphia, and it doesn't really seem to be a concern at all.
No.
No.
I was just like, yeah, okay.
I mean, they lost, what, a game in the standings?
Yeah. Well,
or a game and a half.
Game and a half.
Oh, okay.
Could be two after tonight, but still would be a six-game lead. So not really. And they're facing Felix Hernandez, so they're probably looking at a four-game losing streak. I think Strasburg should be able to beat Chris Young. But Chris Young has had an amazing season.
What am I doing wrong here?
Oh, yeah, scroll up. Follow. Oh, no. Hit the followers tab.
Oh, okay. Followers tab. So Twitter analytics, huh?
Yep.
Only took me forever to remember my password.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I never log in. It's always just there.
My followers, 704 followers as of 8/26/14. Interest, 63% baseball, 54% sports themed, 50% NFL.
Whoa.
That's a lot. 23% ice hockey, 23% college football. Top interest, baseball, 63%, 59% sports news.
That's the important one.
54%.
I mean, I've already looked. I know what the answer is.
Sports themed.
I'm shocked. I can't believe it.
Is it high?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, it is. 26% female followers.
Oh, wow.
That's impressive. So,
45%
here at Citizen
Comedy.
Very female friendly.
Yeah.
Unlike every other baseball blog in the world, apparently.
Hey, I don't follow Ken Rosenthal anymore.
But your followers also follow him, though.
Hmm. Yeah.
I think it's because we're so even-keeled.
I'm only 41% DC, by the way.
Oh.
3% Philadelphia. Boy, that's frustrating.
It's the same 3%, I'm telling you.
3% New York City, 2% Baltimore, and 2% Los Angeles.
Yeah.
That one's a surprise. But actually, it's not. I know a guy who lives near there. 31% business and news.
Yeah.
45% comedy. Most unique interests.
The site account is 18% female.
Hey, all right, go us.
Yeah. I'm saying it's because, you know, we're, you know, as people have derogatorily called us, we're perspective police.
Perspective
really?
Police?
Wait, who called us that?
Wait, when did we get that name?
That's awesome.
Yeah, I kind of like it.
You better not be making this up.
No, it was Jerry last year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Jerry? Oh, yeah. I like him. He's a good dude.
He is, but he was really, like, upset about a loss. And he's like, I don't want any of that perspective police crap from you tonight.
Perspective police crap, huh?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
It's a shame that didn't catch on.
What is a Twitter card?
Well, they can't all be ASCAP.
I know, right?
Great.
So, how is it that it's 82% baseball, but only 69% sports?
Baseball isn't a sport.
It's a recreational activity.
Maybe it's figured differently. I don't know. Maybe it's just 80% of that sports is 80% of that. What'd you say? 30% for baseball.
Right, don't hurt your brain.
What?
Okay, you said what was the percentage for sports?
Do you want me to get you a whiteboard?
What was the percentage for sports?
69.
69%. What was the percentage for baseball?
82.
So maybe 82% of that 69% is baseball.
I don't think that's how that works.
All right. Just a thought.
That seems
too
many levels deep.
Yeah.
It's like a dream within a dream.
I was actually thinking about Inception, of how to put that in there, and it wasn't working. It wasn't there. All right, Nats fans, it's Thursday. We're back. I'm your host, TJ Lenemar. We've got David Huzzard.
Hello.
Matthew Davila.
Hey.
James O'Hara.
Hi.
So the Nats got swept by Philly. Are we all going to go kill ourselves after we're done with this?
Well, we do have beer, so there's that.
Drown ourselves in beer.
We'll drown our sorrows. Because
Murder
beer is good, and that should make us happy.
Yeah.
Sorrows drowned.
Way to go, perspective police. I guess it's prospective police. That's clearly not right. Perspective.
Because we normally stay even keeled, and I couldn't care less that they got swept by Philly.
Yeah,
it's
I got
very
text.
Weird because
I got,
Philly, and I hate Philly.
The only thing that I like. Okay, so you know my unrivaled hatred for Philadelphia. This whole series, I was like, eh. And, like, the only time it kind of bothered me is when last night, because the game started late. But,
yeah.
Like, when they started, you know, they were up. And I was like, oh, awesome, you know. And then they started losing. I was like, just shook my head.
You know when I knew
I'm going to bed.
You know when I
just went to bed. I went to bed at 10 last night.
You know when I knew they were going to lose?
When they were winning?
When they had a one-run lead, okay? And FP got all happy and got really excited. And he's like, and they're undefeated when Denard splashes water on himself. It's like, shut the fuck up, you idiot.
Like,
I haven't won yet, you moron.
My response to that, when he said that, was like, well, you know, he was like, when Denard Span scores three times or something like that, the Nationals usually win. I'm thinking, well, if he scores three times, they're probably up by like 10. Yeah. That's the dumbest thing.
Is that they're undefeated, 1-0.
Yeah,
like that's not helping.
But he was counting he was counting the game that they were playing as the undefeated game, and they lost. You know, the Nationals actually haven't won a game in which Denard Span has hit a home run this season.
Yes, I tweeted that last night.
Both of them.
Yes.
Now, which stats?
Which, by the way, that was a bomb.
Which stats do you hate more? The abstract, when this, this, and this happens, they're undefeated.
Wait, are we leading into something really good?
No.
Oh, damn it.
He was honest with you there.
Or the stats were like, the Nationals all time are such and such and such and such against the Phillies. It's like, that's great. There's one person who played in most of those games, and he's sitting on a goddamn bench right now.
Yeah, I know, right? It's like, do these people realize it's not the same team every
year? I think the all-time stats are interesting, especially for, like, certain players. Because people always mention, like, player versus team stats are just, it's just a small sample size. Well, you look at Chipper Jones against the Mets, okay? And you look at Chipper Jones against the Mets compared to Chipper Jones' MVP season, it's like the same thing. So he's basically had an MVP season against the Mets, and you look at Tim Hudson versus the Nationals. He's had like a Cy Young season against the Mets. It's like an entire season of being that good against one team.
I think all-time stats are interesting in a different regard. It's like, because if you look at all-time stats, they always equalize. Like,
That's what I'm saying, is that they don't. I'm saying the opposite.
Hmm. Well, I just remember the Braves when they won their 10,000th
game. That's
for
players now.
But I mean, you go, but even abstracting from baseball, say like the World Cup where they're talking about it, and they're like, Argentina is such and such and such and such against Germany. It's like, that's great.
That's from 1986.
All of those guys are probably dead.
Yeah. I don't have no problem with those. I think it's when you make the sample size so small that it's just almost like just stupidly
when you're putting in six variables to say, in this case,
like you know, left-handed hitters against Strasburg's changeup, things like that.
In innings past the fourth.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. No, I hate it when they talk about it. They're
wait. It was line drives off of Strasburg's changeup.
Oh, left-handed. By left-handed. Yeah.
God,
we're not getting to that yet. He said no.
Nothing fun yet.
No, I like. I think both of them are actually useful in the sense that they're reflective. That you want to say, "Holy crap, Tim Hudson somehow has been amazing against the Nationals." But you don't then say that and say, "Well, he's been amazing against the Nationals from 2005 to 2009. I bet he's amazing against them now in 2014." That's where you have a problem. But if you want to just like look at it and say, "That's kind of cool," you know, the Nationals have scored four runs. They're 105, and it's like, "Wow, that's crazy." And they're like, "Well, just because they scored four runs, that doesn't mean they're gonna win this next game." But it's still cool,
right?
And that's where you gotta really draw the line and stuff like that. And batter pitcher matchup are the same kind of thing, but those really suffer from small sample sizes.
Yeah.
But it's like, that's cool. He's hit five home runs off of that pitcher. I don't care.
It's also six plate appearances, and all of them were 3 years ago. Yeah. So,
well, now that Tim Lincecum's a reliever, he'll never be brought in an inning that Paul Goldschmidt's playing. Right? He'll never Or Bochy will just be mad at him and be like, "I'm bringing you for one batter. It's Paul Goldschmidt."
Well, I think it's something that if somebody really wants to use batter pitcher matchups, it's fine. All right, the opposing pitcher is Cliff Lee. You have Danny Espinosa and Robinson Cano. Which one are you using? If you looked at batter pitcher matchups, for some reason you'd be using Danny Espinosa. That is not the right decision.
I see nothing wrong with this.
The real problem is they feel like you're thinking about it more. With that kind of stuff and with batting average with runners in scoring position, it's like, I'm not using batting average. I'm using it when I need a hit in a run. So obviously that's a good stat, right? No. That's just as bad. It's like, and Matt Williams is definitely one of those managers who really gets caught up in it. And it's kind of disappointing because it's like, oh my God, Matt, you're so close to getting it right. And then he just goes off to the left. It's like, get it in. Never mind. I'm going to look at these stats instead. It's like, no, Matt, no.
But I think he has a good perspective on it. He may just say like that.
Yeah.
But when you listen to him talk in the post-game press conference, like after a loss where they had like 20 base runners, he's like, well, if we just keep putting guys on base, you know, they're going to score. You know, they didn't score tonight, but if we do it again in another game, we're going to score more than, you know, two runs. And that's just – that's the right way to think about it. I think he has that sort of, you know, that nature where nothing is going to really bother him. And he's just going to look at, you know, well, no, we hit a lot of line drives.
Except for when Bryce Harper does
Harper. Well, actually, really, the problem with that wasn't – well, it was that it was Bryce Harper that ended up doing it. Was that he – that was one of the few times he's really lost his cool. The day before when they were in that they lost 8-2, and he got really pissed off. And he was like, all right, next guy who doesn't run all the way to first base, you're getting benched. But, and then it ended up being Bryce Harper, and he's like, oh – maybe that's why I don't just run into the clubhouse yelling things at players. Because basically, he was in a corner. Either he had to bench one of his best players in a one-run game, or if he didn't, then the entire clubhouse would never listen to anything he said again. Because they'd be like, well, I don't give a shit if you threaten us. Clearly, you're not going to do it.
I just remember looking at Twitter that day, right? And I thought it, and you posted the tweet, you said, I certainly hope he sat Bryce Harper because, you know, his hamstring or something was hurting and not because he was angry he didn't run to first base. Watching the interview at the end, then I see your next tweet, God damn it, Matt Williams! I just remember laughing so hard. I'd be like, yeah, pretty much.
My favorite, and Chris Needham was like, oh, Matt, you big dumb idiot.
I think Matt Williams has actually learned this season. You know, as it's sort of the spotlight because of how good the Nationals are, is just bright on him. And, you know, he's never going to catch up to the expected win-loss.
No.
But I think
they're close, though.
They're close, but I think they have actually, if you just chop off April and May when he was really learning how to be a manager, they would actually probably be right where they're supposed to be.
Yeah, or actually probably ahead of it, maybe.
Yeah. So I think he has gotten better.
I can definitely agree with that. I hate the bastard, and I think he started making better decisions at points in time. I think, I can't even think of any.
I think there are a lot smaller mistakes now. Like, he's not losing his cool with the players. He's not benching players. He's not.
But he is leaving loogies in for 2 innings.
That was really weird.
That's a small mistake in that a game they were already losing, and he left in a pitcher he shouldn't have for too long, and they ended up being losing by more. And then you can see the same thing with, I don't think it was a mistake. Other people thought it was a mistake leaving Blevins in against the Phillies to pitch to one righty with nobody on base and one out. And the righty happened to hit a home run. But again, that was a game he was already losing, and he happened to go from a one-run deficit to a two-run deficit. So if that's a mistake you're making, I'm much happier than if you're just randomly benching people for no reason.
I think that leaving the lefty in to face the righty is better than putting the lefty in, like, left field.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and doing that type of thing.
Yeah, that's just plain crazy. Stupid shit.
Well, and see, the other problem is that, and they had Storn, they could go to Storn. If he was going to pitch Storn, obviously he would have pitched him to start the inning. So he's going to pull Storn after he faces the righty to go back to Thornton for the lefties. So now you've used 3 relievers to finish off 1 inning. In a game, you're losing by 1 run. Or you could just let your lefty face a righty in almost the safest situation anybody can face a batter in and hope that he doesn't screw up enough to give up a home run, which he's only done twice this entire season. 3 times now.
Yeah. So that's really not a mistake.
No. And that's a fairly calculated risk that just didn't pay off. Because then the next 3 batters was Cody Ashe, who's a lefty, pinch hitter, and then Ben Revere, who's a lefty. I mean, if it was 2nd and 3rd and Ruiz snuck a single in and 2 runs had scored, that's a problem. Because you really shouldn't be, if you can get beaten by a single, you shouldn't be leaving the guy in. But a solo home run beats you, that it's a solo home run. It happened.
Yeah, I think all 3 of these games against the Phillies were winnable.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you lose winnable games, it's usually, you know, small mistakes. You know, like Ray Knight was complaining last night about him not bringing in Matt Thornton to face Grady Sizemore.
That was hilarious.
I didn't see that.
You missed it? Oh, I think somebody posted a video. I can't remember. I think it might have been Records and Radio. You'll have to watch it. Basically, it was kind of like an argument between Frank and Weege and a member of Nat's Archive.
Oh, yeah?
But on TV. Ray Knight was Frank and Luigi, and FP and Bob were Nat's Archive.
Oh, shit.
That's pretty much the best way I can describe that. Because it's just like, wow. I don't know why you didn't use Matt Thornton there. It's like, you left him in one too long, and the guy hit a home run, and the game was over. Way to go, Matt Williams. And FP and Bob was like, well, he's done such a good job this year. I don't know if you can really doubt him that much here. Then Ray Nice is like, yeah, you can. I am right now.
Like, oh, okay. I think Ray Knight was like, a lot of people doubted me when I was. It's like, Ray Knight, you ordered a sack bunt with two outs. Okay, a lot of people had reason to doubt you when you were a manager. but I think that you know it's a small mistake that happened. I mean, Doug Pfister is sort of he's earned a lot of equity here with how he's pitched this year to be allowed to get out of those situations late in the game, and he just didn't get out of it. And, you know, if you ask me...
I don't think leaving Doug Pfister in was a bad decision at all. I think, if anything, I preferred that decision.
Yeah, if you ask me, who would you rather have pitching, Doug Pfister or a reliever?
Doug Pfister, yeah. Did you get a new phone, or is that...
Yes.
Oh, okay. That's nice. What is it?
Motorola Droid Max.
Ah.
Has a gigantic battery.
Oh, yeah?
I was wondering... Last 48 hours, so I assume that hopefully means it at least lasts one day.
Yeah, that sounds about right. At first, I was wondering if that was that Amazon phone.
No, I'm not a hipster enough for those phones.
I know.
Those kids make me feel bad about myself.
Supposedly, they're coming out with a new iPhone.
Yeah, the 9th, Six. They're putting that stuff out. Apparently, with the Amazon phone, though, it has its own app store that's through Amazon. So you can't get to the Google App Store, even though it's an Android device.
So it's more convoluted.
Yeah.
Well, I think it works off of Amazon Prime.
Right, but their actual like App Store
right.
is the Amazon App Store. And they don't want it to have the Google App Store that has everything.
Right.
You only get the little store that Amazon has. It's,
what?
That is a little perplexing.
Yeah, but I think that's what it basically can do... Amazon Prime, so you don't really need any of the main apps you would have, because you can watch your streaming movies through Amazon Prime. You can stream music through Amazon Prime. You can.
Do they give you a free subscription with Amazon Prime?
You get a year with the phone, I believe.
Well, if the game you want, you just go to Amazon, you buy it, and a droid will deliver it right to you.
But what if it's a phone game?
Well, a droid will deliver it to you in like some years from now. It's not legal yet.
A drone.
Yeah. No, yeah, it's not legal yet.
No.
Oh, man.
Just yeah, remember when the parks have outlawed this?
Yeah.
They don't want them flying in the airspace because they make noise.
Who banned it?
You know what else makes
parks?
Oh, yeah.
You know what else?
No, it's not that. It's because one of them crashed in Yellowstone.
Oh, really? Really?
Like on one of the, most important like falls or something. Some hobbyist was flying it around and he crashed the thing. So they said no.
They didn't want to fly.
My other favorite story is somebody somehow got like a really powerful one and flew it 10 miles outside of LAX, flew it like 4,000 feet in the sky.
That's just fucking stupid.
So was it shot down?
I think so.
People got arrested? But basically,
the way they found out is some pilot was coming into LAX and he saw it and he's like, is this supposed to be here? And they're like, no.
God. God, that's scary if you're flying a passenger jet to that thing and goes
it goes into the engine. 650
miles an hour.
Someone whose dad works in the FAA legislation, not coming anytime soon.
Yeah.
It's especially not helping that people keep trying to sell them and use them even though they're not supposed to be.
Well, Amazon will just go, they'll go backwards. They'll just use catapults to deliver your thing.
Well, see, my favorite, I'm really hoping for...
That'll tell you if the toaster you ordered on Amazon is really quality or not.
does it land okay?
Right through the door.
Oh, hey, my toaster's here.
My favorite, though, because if you watch the Amazon video of their droids, it's like that little tiny thing carrying the parcels. I want to get the bigger droids and just be like a package pirate. Just grab the Amazon droid and just direct it to me and just take whatever it is.
I bought my TV from Amazon back in, what was that, 2012, I want to say. And I remember when they first started talking about the drones, I was like, man, what kind of drone would deliver that TV? You know, like, I went to my...
a robotic donkey.
Yeah. Just like, I could hear the helicopters.
Bart Simpson with a slingshot and a rock could just knock it out of the air. Like, free TV, all right. They're not very well thought out, I don't think.
Have you guys seen their one-day ship? Or not one-day. Their same-day shipping?
They have same-day shipping?
They have stuff that if you can buy it, like, in the morning, and it will be at your doorstep that evening.
That's kind of badass.
Yeah, because they have a lot of new... The only problem is that what they're doing is it kind of screws them over on sales tax. Because what they do is they're putting warehouses in every state, like everywhere, so that basically they have small caches of items that are really popular, like probably TVs. So you say, I want this. And it's like, well, we have that in our local warehouse. We'll send it right now. And so you get it delivered. The only problem is now a lot of states, basically, they require you to pay sales tax online if you have a point of reference in that state.
A lot of states are going to, even if you don't.
Well, yeah, true. Now they're starting to
see that. Like, Virginia moved for that. What the fuck?
Yeah. No, that's been in the works for a while.
Virginia did that because they had a problem because Amazon had things here. But they're like, no, we're headquartered in California.
Well, I remember the first time I ordered something off of Amazon, it wasn't taxed. I was like, that's not going to last.
Yeah. It only changed.
Like a year ago.
That's the problem of being a cynical American. You see cool things and you're just like, nope.
That's not going to last. Yeah.
It's like, good luck.
Incidentally, the last thing I ordered from Amazon was Destiny, which is coming in a week. So I'm excited about that.
What's that?
Destiny, the video game.
What's that?
It's by the makers of Halo.
Oh, it's a video game. Oh, okay. One of those.
One of those video game contraptions.
Yeah. I've heard so much about.
I can't tell if you were joking with me or if you actually didn't get it the first time.
No, I just don't know what Destiny is.
Oh.
It's beyond it being a video game. Yeah. What kind of video game?
It's the kind of video game where you shoot stuff.
Oh.
It's like a first-person shooter RPG.
Okay. Yeah.
Online, pretty massive badass. Multiplayer type
You're
of thing.
Just saying terms.
No, actually, those are all accurate, applicable terms.
It can't be a first-person shooter and an RPG. That's ridiculous.
It is.
You've never played Borderlands?
I guess Borderlands is.
It's in a Borderlands vibe, but done by the Halo guys.
Yeah, more serious than Borderlands.
And it has... Peter Dinklage as a voice.
As the robot.
Yeah.
We'll see how many times they changed it. Because every time they put out their pre-release stuff, people were like, that voice sucks. It's like, don't worry, it's not done yet.
Well, people,
we're going to fix it.
People mentioned it when the alpha came out. I'm like, okay. Yeah, it was kind of bad. Like, I didn't really realize it while I was playing it. But then, you know, like, the beta came out and they put the robot echo to it, and I was like, so that sounds more legit, you know, because it's like, well, he's supposed to be a monotone robot.
And it's like, we want a name. Okay, let's get Peter. It's like, are you a good voice actor? No, not at all. We'll do it anyway.
Well, and the problem is what people are looking for is they're looking for who was the big robot AI in Halo that everyone loved.
I don't know. I never played
Nicolas Cage.
God, you guys are all awful.
I know it's Cortana. I don't want to give you the real answer, though. Fuck off.
I only played the first Halo. I never.
The
got
new
to
voice
Halo
of
ones.
Windows Phone.
Cortana. That is accurate.
Which that must be pretty cool for that voice actress. Also, kind of creepy though.
Yeah.
Let people way too into your voice.
Hmm.
Still, could not go to a gaming convention. He's what? Hello. It's like, whoa! I know who you are!
It's a good impersonation.
I still want them to just come out with something that's just computer.
Computer.
Computer. Computer.
Oh, we said that last week.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we haven't done it.
We talked about that last week.
It's a whole week. Let's go, Google.
I'm willing to bet it is copyrighted in some way.
Stupid Star Trek.
What was it? Okay, Google? Okay, Google.
Don't.
Did you
both of these are listening. You can try it. You can see it. You have to say, okay, Google, now, though.
Okay, Google.
Nope. Now.
Okay, Google.
Now. You're not getting this clearly.
Okay, Google, now?
Yep. Ah, it doesn't work. Oh, well.
See, you should be disappointed in your devices.
I am disappointed in my devices.
Good.
Maybe they just know my voice and know not to listen to you.
Well, that's good.
That'd be nice. I'm gonna pretend
you do it.
That.
Show me it works.
Nah.
So it doesn't work.
I have no idea if it works or not. This is a new phone. I literally got it today.
Oh, you did? Okay, cool. It's
supposed to work, but I might not have set it up.
We also need replicators.
Replicants.
Replicator.
Replicants.
No, we don't need those.
Yeah, but then our entire society would crumble.
Yeah, society's
at least
boring.
Our capitalist-based society would. You can just replicate whatever you want for free.
I want to watch that movie. For some reason, it's come up.
Earl
it's
Grey.
Come up a lot lately. I need to see that movie again. I have that movie. It's a great movie.
Blade Runner.
Blade Runner, yeah.
See, replicators would never catch on here. They're too socialist.
Those would be amazing. Seriously, like, computer, bring me a coffee.
Doesn't bring it to you.
Well, duh. That's why I'd get angry, because it doesn't actually bring it to me, but it does give it to me.
I want computer servants, but I want them to be like Amelia Bedelia. So you just say, like, make me a coffee, and then they, like, take you and try and put you in a gigantic coffee cup.
Okay, here's a question for you. I wonder, like, what if you tried to get something out of the replicator, right, that was bigger than the replicator? Because, you know, it's this small little thing that gives you drinks. What if you wanted a new TV, right?
Replicator, make me a boat.
Yeah. Like, what does it do?
What a yuck.
Does it just not do it?
It says, fuck off.
It says, go to the hollow chamber.
Go to the hollow deck, you bastard.
Replicator, build me a replicator 5 inches bigger than you.
There you go, see?
Slowly but surely, you get a big enough replicator. But you can then get a boat out of it.
Oh, it's like, now what am I going to do with my boat in space?
I'm going to go ride it in space. Give me a spacesuit. That'd be great.
All right, I'm going to present this next comment without anything comment? Attached to it. And I will just let you guys talk. Neil Greenberg.
Oh, shit.
Yay! All right. Finally.
Yeah. Somebody had to go to the bathroom, clearly.
No joke.
So we get to talk about fancy stats.
Oh, my God.
No sample size. Too small. Now, the things that I've always thought were important about sabermetrics and statistical analysis was more the concepts than the stats themselves.
Hmm.
And one of the main things is avoid small sample sizes.
I think that's like rules number 1 through 5.
It's not.
At least.
Hey. That few?
Yeah.
It's like, let's make the sample size so small that it's beyond meaningless. So he had his article on Steven Strasburg, and it was change-ups thrown to left-handers that were hit for a line drive. Difference between last year and this year.
Oh, Lord.
Not even his whole career. And then no. The best part is he had a graph.
At the beginning, this was just line drives.
I was confused by your tweet earlier, Dave. You mentioned you said something about graphs and how it makes your argument invalid.
Well, we're getting to that.
Okay.
So yes, this is his favorite. He had it was a bar graph. It was average.
That guy Babbitt, wishes no, he was Babbitt, so smart.
Average, on-base percentage, slugging percentage, and ISO, I believe.
Surprised he knows
over his
that
entire like thing. Each year of his career, so 2010, 2011, 2012, 2013, 2014. And the best thing is that you look at this graph, and the BABIP, the average, and the on-base percentage are all lower than last year, and lower than previous years, and way lower than 2010. And then slugging percentage and ISO are much higher. And so all of a sudden, it's like, I'm going to focus on those two parts.
Yeah.
That's the definition of manipulating data to your advantage.
Well, then he had a line graph that showed the different pitches.
Yes.
And what was funny was he was focusing on the changeup. And if you looked at the changeup, it was basically the same, like this August and last August. Like, it was at the same exact spot. But if you looked at the fastball, it was like way up here.
Yeah. Well, and see, the other
shoulder just cracked. Was that the scar tissue? Yeah. That sounds
well, no,
awful.
And it was really funny is that graph, and you looked at it, and it's like if you look, you just pick an axis, you go across, changeup is about the same in August. The difference is that in April, it was just insanely low. It's like, well, that's clearly not right, and then it came up to the right level. And then you went, look how high it went up.
Well,
that's crazy.
Might I add, Neil Greenberg, because I went and looked for his piece from this week. Well, the first one that comes up when you type in Neil Greenberg Strasburg is one from April where he's talking about the changeup being unhittable.
Yeah.
Wow.
Let's see smaller samples.
So he doesn't know what decision to make.
This is changeup is clearly his best pitch. And actually, and you look at his Twitter, and I only saw it because I happened to look, and you look at his replies. Somebody said, isn't the fastball a bigger problem? Oh, wait, now I'm going to have to find it. Dave can get angry about it more. I'm sure you get more points on this. I got to find the answer specifically. Oh. I don't want to be mean.
Yeah. It's, I mean, the fastball, I think he's lost velocity because of the bone chip surgery. I think that's why he's lost velocity. I think we'll see it come back next year when he gets an off-season to work on it, because he didn't really get to build up his arm strength this off-season.
Yeah. No, that's accurate.
So, I mean, I think that's what we're going to see. And
there's a comment about fastball saying hitters are batting 300 against his fastball and they're slugging about 500. The changeup isn't the problem.
Okay.
To which he replied, there's a difference between hitting a ball and hitting for power, but thanks for reading.
What?
Yeah, that's the other problem. He is a gigantic dick about it.
I know.
Like, I thought Dave Cameron had an issue with people telling him he's wrong, which he does. Nobody else calls the Mariners the sixth best organization in baseball in 2010, realizes, oh no, that's clearly not right, and decides to write a five-piece diatribe about how he totally wasn't wrong at the time, if you look at it in this specific context, in which, like many books of the Bible, half of it just contradicts the other half. Like, at one point he says, yeah, the projection said they're an 83-win team. We probably shouldn't have gotten excited. Then in another part he said, yeah, but the projection for this player was very good. It's like, what are you doing? But yeah, this guy, it's just, like, don't even say anything. He's just like, thanks for the comment. It's like,
what's funny is I think he knows better than to ever say anything to me. Because I said something, like, he posted something. He posted a graph about how the division was basically over for the Nationals, and I was like, the 2007 Mets disagree.
Yeah, the 2007 Mets are still angry about it.
Right. Let's actually...
He
brought his iPad today.
I did.
Cool. Right, so you know he's lethal.
The link to his article. Someone called @callTheShots replied, Fangraphs seems to indicate that the problem lies with his fastball and slider. He says, check your sample size on the slider. Thanks for the heads up. I think that breaks down to like 11 sliders. My bad. Do you not agree that the fastball is an issue, though? It's an issue. But his changeup was so good, I decided to look at that instead.
Wait, so he just contradicted himself. What a dumbass.
His changeup.
What? What do you mean? That's not how this works. It's not how anything works.
Wow, I feel like we're in that e-surance commercial. Yeah. That's not how it works.
Wrong.
That's not how it works.
It's like, yeah, that pitch is worse, but I decided to see if I could poke holes in his clearly best pitch.
And he failed.
And it, yeah, he got three.
Yeah.
And so you look at that heat map, three pitches were in a different zone than they were last year.
Three pitches.
And got hit harder.
That's a small sample.
What the hell?
See, that's how small this is. Three pitches. That's our sample size here.
Well, I was looking at it, like, when I first brought all this up and I was looking, I was like, well, that's got to be like 30. That has to be like tens or something. And I kept...
No, nope, that's what...
Nope, those are singular numbers.
Right. And I was like, I hate those because they're kind of hard. And I was like, all right, I'm going to ask Stu, who, if anybody knows what Baseball Savant output out it is, it's Stu. It was like,
absolutely.
Is this three pitches? He's like, it looks like three pitches. It's like, what are you doing?
So here's a question. How many games have the Nationals played?
132? 132. All right. Damn, good.
130. Okay, well, we don't really clearly. Okay. This might be a perspective police here on this one.
Uh-oh.
But the 2011 Red Sox at a game 132 were up by two games.
What year, I'm sorry?
2011 Red Sox. The big collapse. They were up by two games on this, you know.
That was a good year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they went on to collapse, but they were up by two games. So really, huge collapse there. I mean, they fell to seven back by the end of the season, but yeah, it wasn't as big of a collapse as people made it out to be. Let's go to the 2007 Mets are probably the biggest recent collapse. Okay.
What about the Braves? What was their...
They were leading in the wild cards.
Oh, that's right. We're talking about the wild card.
Shit about that.
That was back when the wild card was different.
Yeah, it was...
It was different. It was different. Change.
So,
salty veteran.
The New York Mets, 2007. I've clicked on it before on my iPad.
I'm just trying very hard not to get excited about the Nationals being in first place, because the moment it ends, I'm going to be sad.
It will never end. Never, ever. Ever.
Okay, so
I'm just so damn afraid.
Put that on the page.
I'm just so damn afraid that they're not going to be in. That they're not going to make it to the playoffs this year. I'm just not even trying to consider the fact that they're in first place. I'm just like, hey, this game's good. Hey, this game's
just when they win 82 games, you'll celebrate.
Yeah, pretty much. I like winning seasons.
Oh, okay, DC. So at 132 games.
Actually, I'm so not DC. They hate everything, cry about everything. Right.
At 132 games into the season, the New York Mets had just been swept by the Phillies.
Up by
3 games in the division.
Oh, well, that's different. Okay, yeah. We're fine then.
Yeah.
That was almost the same situation. That was scary.
Yeah.
But the Phillies were the team chasing them.
Oh, true. That also, yeah, it's a big difference.
Right. Now, if the Nationals get swept by the Braves in one of those series and are suddenly up by 3 games, then you may have something to worry about. But let's just not have that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, that's a good strategy.
You know, I like the way you think, Dave.
See,
preventative.
See, I think the Nationals need to stop viewing like the Braves as the team hunting them and stuff. Just forget everything that happened before. Those games have already happened. You can't change the past.
Mm-hmm.
Then you just go, okay, we're the better team. We're going to play them like we play everyone else. And we're going to slaughter their asses. If they want to hunt us, guess what? They're going to fucking find us.
Wow. Lion King quote. It's in the past. Doesn't matter.
Okay.
When you were talking about that, I was like, I don't recall them saying fuck in the Lion King.
You obviously didn't see the new Lion King. Kids today are saying fuck at younger ages, you see.
I've written new rules to hide and go seek, okay? All right.
You get found and you die.
Here's how it's going to work. I'm going to go hide somewhere. You three can come seek me. Whichever one of you finds me.
That's called sardines.
Whichever one of you finds me, I'm going to beat the living hell out of.
Well, that's not sardines.
That sounds like
99% sardines.
Sounds like a twisted narcissistic version of hide and go seek. Arm these kids with guns just in case.
That's how I just envision the Nats, how they should view it. Just, all right, we're going to play a game of hide and go seek. The Braves are going to come, we're just going to stand in the middle of the room, and the Braves can come get us. And then we're going to kill them.
Wow.
With a gun.
Came out with me with a banana. Oh, Monty Python.
That damn holy hand grenade. Yeah, that guy's an asshole.
I could not get over what an ass he was just in the comment section.
Yeah.
I just
about, you want to be an ass, somebody goes, it's not, you know, if you get like, yeah, who gives a shit about Steven Strasburg? It's like about the Redskins. You can be an ass about that. If you write something nice about Strasburg and somebody goes, I don't give a shit, I want him off the team, you can make fun of that person because they're stupid. But somebody says, I think the fastball is more of a problem because of this stat and this stat.
A logical argument.
Fuck off.
Look at this. It's like 4 different posts all the way down where he's explaining his point on what he means. And he essentially just goes, nah, fuck you. Thanks for the click, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you have to explain your point at all, you did it wrong.
Well, I mean, you know, the best was the guy pointed out that it's a 300 batting average and a 500 slugging. He's like, well, power just makes a difference. Like, the 500 slugging is a pretty damn good.
Yeah.
It's an MVP slugging percentage there.
Well, and I mean, having to explain yourself happens all the time. I mean, how many things have you written where they've read it wrong or it wasn't as clear as it probably could have been that you're like, no, this is how I meant for this to come across?
Well, actually, not that many. Like maybe 5.
Burn.
God damn it, Dave.
At any rate, I mentioned this before. I followed Neil Greenberg for a brief time back like a couple years ago because he wrote about the Caps, right? And I was like, well, people need to be more, you know, in tune with stats in hockey, right? So maybe he has some insights. But I quickly learned that his insights were, well, stupid. Yeah. And so, and I made an argument, and it wasn't even like a mean argument. It was just a comment, something very similar to that. I have no idea what it was at this point, but I made a very similar argument where it was just like, I don't think that's right. And he, like, on Twitter, like, flipped the shit. And I'm looking at my Twitter, and I'm like, this guy is legitimately insane.
My favorite hockey thing with him was he was committed that the Caps should trade Braden Holtby because he was like, he had what, like 5 shutouts in his first like 6 games or something ridiculous.
Something.
Yeah. And he's like, he'll never be this good again. It's like, so what if he's still just very good? Like, of course he's not gonna have like you know that huge percent of shutouts. But what if he's still just good?
Yeah. I don't think that guy gets paid to blog.
Oh, no, he does. Definitely does now.
Does he?
You don't write for the Washington Post without being paid.
No, he, yeah.
That's a, that's
they
a,
haven't gotten that bad yet. The funniest thing, I thought it when I read it, and I kind of forgot. I thought again, where's the best place to throw a ball to a left-hander?
Down and Away?
No.
Well, yeah. Low and Away, or which there's some of them you can go high and in. Yeah, but mostly Low and Away. Yeah. None of them can reach that. Where's the best place to throw a changeup?
That would be right at him. Well, maybe more towards the middle because it dives out to the right.
But you'd want it to dive out away, right? Yeah, away. You'd want it to go kind of down and away.
If you're a right-hander like Strasburg, it's kind of in the middle. The best place to
put a changeup against a left-handed hitter would be...
in the middle.
You know, and then low, have it cross the plate low and away, right?
Right.
But that apparently is a problem. That's where he's putting them. This year, all the pitches are low and away, and he's saying they should be high in a way.
Oh, so he wants people to hit home runs off of Strasburg.
Even though small samples being stupid, last year he had 4 hot up and away. He had only a couple low and away, and he's saying now he has 5 low and away that are getting hit for line drives. So it's like he shouldn't be throwing it low and away. What do you mean you shouldn't be throwing a changeup low and away to left-handers?
That's what it does. That's
the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I looked at it. I kind of recognized it, but I didn't really think about it until I looked at it again. He said, location, location, location. Left-handed batters are mashing the ball low and away. I bet I know why. Because that's the only place he throws it.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, if you only throw the ball low and away, I bet they'll hit line drives on balls low and away. That's just amazing.
Now, does he say what they're slugging in that area?
No, he doesn't.
It sounds to me like the Washington Post. I want to go pull it up on Brooks
and just see what it is.
Yeah, I want to go they put in Brooks and see if maybe this 3 up here, they're slugging really well, and this 5 down here, they're not, you know, they're hitting line drives, but it's not for any extra base hits. That would be funny.
What counts as a line drive? Like, is it like a soft liner to Desmond? Is that, I mean, this, technically it's a line drive.
Yeah, because he's not really specifying whether or not it's a hit, is he? Just talking about line drives.
Yeah, but there's a fine line between like a line drive. Like, I sometimes when I'm scoring a game, I'm like, is that a line drive or a fly ball? I'm like...
sometimes it's hard to see unless you actually see it in person.
You have this graph, which is isolated power against Steven Strasburg's changeup, I assume. I can't really tell. He doesn't say. By month in 2014. So it looks crazy, because August, he's had, like, 2 starts. So it's really high, because he's had 2 bad starts. So it goes up. It's like, March, it's nothing. April, it's about 500. May, it's about 500. June, it jumps up really high but still slightly above 200. Then July, it's right about where it should be, 125. And then August, it's 300. This is a problem. Watch how it goes all the way from 0 to 300. You're getting, what, 5 starts a month at most?
And how many changeups does he throw a start? Maybe 20?
You see the same thing. He's had it divided by month again up here. He's just doing changeups, line drives for ball and play. It just jumps up by month. It's like, well, do it by year. I'd like to see that. I bet it goes like this. It's just straight, flat line.
Well, I don't like Lobatone working with Strasburg, and he's done his last 2 starts.
Yeah.
I think
what I've gathered...
I was making a point.
I'm sorry, but I think what I've gathered from Neil Greenberg is that he just puts pictures and his pieces and is like, yeah, this is too smart for people to understand.
What I think Neil Greenberg is, he's like what people accuse, like what the old crotchety baseball writers accuse stats people of being.
Yeah,
because
that's true.
I actually think he watches hockey, okay?
Yeah.
I think he probably watches hockey and knows about hockey.
Yeah.
But baseball, I'm not sure he is really a baseball guy. Because there's so much involved, sort of the game within the game, those sort of cliches of baseball, the pitch selection, that type of... Because Brian Kinney was talking about Strasburg the other day. And Brian Kinney is a stats guy. Or mm-hmm. He plays one on TV. I'm still not sure if he actually is or if there's actually a, you know, hand up his ass.
Either way.
But, you know, he can talk about it on his own. So he was, you know, talking about Strasburg. He said, well, you look at the difference here between, you know, what you're seeing with the... He doesn't walk a lot of guys. He strikes out a lot of guys. He's given up a lot of home runs, but, you know, you could say that some of those are lucky home runs, you know, looking at XFIP and that sort of thing. And then he went on to explain what XFIP was and all that stuff. And he said, but, he has a very strong base. So you try to figure out what is the difference between, you know, why is the ERA high when the expected ERA should be low. I say, well, maybe it's pitch selections. Maybe it's when the hits were given up. Maybe it's, you know, just some of it's being unlucky. So, and you know, when you watch him, when I said with Lobatone, okay, with Lobatone, when Strasburg is starting to miss with the fastball, Lobatone just keeps fucking calling for fastballs.
Yeah.
When, you know, if you remember back with Pudge, and Ramos does this too, he would, you know, when he starts missing with the fastball, they start calling other pitches. And so he'd get his feel back. Because, you know, the changeup and the curveball are feel pitches. So you need to sort of feel the ball. And then go back to the fastball, and he has a feel for the ball again.
Here's your awful problem he has with changeup. Line drives by ball in play, batter handedness by year.
Oh.
Look how flat that is! What the shit are you talking about?
You know it's bad when you say, what the shit.
It's just wrong!
Yeah, I just...
That's unbelievably wrong!
I don't know what the purpose of that fan... Because he wrote about RG3, too. And it was awful as well.
Oh, yeah. When that was one, Eric Fingerhunt wrote a really good response piece, too. And it was just like... Wrong. And he specifically detailed how wrong that one was.
Yeah.
So is this the...
That's the slugging heat map.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So the worst spot by slugging.
Is where he wants...
Yeah. What do you think it is, Dave?
By his slugging?
With honest changeup.
Honest changeup.
Against... Well, this is against this both right-handers and left-handers.
Yeah.
Oh, pull that back out? I'll just hit left-handers.
I can hit left-handers. Let's see. By left-handers. Oh, that's even differenter.
Well, we'll just see.
I like that. Okay. That's even different.
Since all of them are down and away.
He has two really bad spots.
Two really bad spots.
Can you guess which ones those are?
Well, see.
In the strike zone, bottom low, or middle low, and...
Middle in?
Yeah.
And where's the other one, you think? That's one.
Okay, so middle low.
Middle low.
And we're saying middle in.
Not middle in. High in.
High in, okay.
Well, where he should be throwing them, apparently.
That's not where
you should... Low and away. 333. In the strike zone, low and away. Outside of the strike zone, low and away. 133. 143. Zero.
Right.
You are so stupid.
Well, a good changeup is a really good changeup.
Right.
Ends up out of the strike zone. It starts in the strike zone. Like the one he threw to Joey Votto last year that's just ridiculous looking.
Mm-hmm.
There's a gif of it somewhere that's just amazing. Because the swing is just so just awful.
It's just, it's the best gift beyond, outside of when Jason Worth got that Ephus pitch last year and just like thought his reality had shattered. It was just like, you can do that with a baseball? It just happened. Yeah, that's the second best one is just Joey Votto just looking like a fucking moron. Like some idiot who goes to the batting cage with his kid and is like, watch this, Joey, I'm really good at this. Oh, this is going a little fast. Let's go to the slower ones. That's for the real people.
Man,
they must have these turned up a little higher than they say they are.
And I think Strasburg has had issues this year that he hasn't had in other years. But he also didn't get an off season to strengthen his arm and work on stuff.
Yeah.
So there's a difference right there. And he's also 25 years old?
He's getting up there. Over the hill.
Yeah, he's 25, so he's still ridiculously young. And if this was any other pitcher, if his name was like Bob McGindry or something, and he was having the type of season he was, and he was 2 years from free agency, people would be begging for him to be signed in the offseason. It's 2 years from free agency. I think the Nats should probably sign him to a long-term extension. I believe that.
Don't know. I mean, other people do. No, that'd be great.
Who were we talking about? I honestly was not listening.
Strasburg.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
Remember last year with Jordan Zimmerman? The whole, like, they need to sign him. They need it. And Desmond.
Yeah.
It's going to be the same situation with Strasburg this offseason.
No, I would agree with that. I mean,
this offseason's going to be really weird.
It is.
Because they're.
It's going to be really boring.
Okay. Well, if they pick up Denard Span's option, which they absolutely should,
they're going to trade him.
They could trade him. I'd be shocked at this point that the fact that he's actually doing well that they will. I think they'll keep him. Because that $9 million.
Yeah.
He could have his worst year. And he'd still be worth it.
Yeah.
Or he'd have to fall off the planet to not be worth $9 million.
What if gravity just let go?
And I think that's why they trade him.
Here's the question, though. Will his value ever be higher?
No. Well, you're not even going to... I don't think you'd keep him after this year anyways.
No.
So I suppose if you think... one of your other outfielders is ready.
And he's not a qualifying offer guy. So when he becomes a free agent, he's just walking.
You could trade him. But I mean, that opens a hole. But assuming you bring back Span, and you're definitely putting one of Ryan Zimmerman, Jason Worth at first base. you still have the gigantic hole at either second base and third base.
Pablo Sandoval.
Yes. I think Pablo Sandoval should be signed, and they could go for Hanley Ramirez, but that seems way too expensive for somebody
who's not going to be good. And he's going to be hurt.
Yes. Yeah. But, yeah, they have a giant hole on a team that, at this point, looks very clear that they're at least going to make the playoffs, if not have one of the best records in the league, if not get far in the playoffs. It's like, how many teams like that have a hole that big that they need to fill?
Well, a lot of them.
But, like, just that. Like, I say other teams, they lose players. They're not losing it. Besides LaRoche, they're not really losing. They already have a fill-in for him.
Right.
And the Red Sox lost some people. They lost multiple people.
I think the Cardinals this past
the Cardinals.
They lost Beltran. But then, you know, they when they lose players, I think the Nationals can view it the same way. This is why I think, you know, sort of trading Denard Span makes sense, because the farm system is getting an influx from foreign-born talent.
Yeah.
I mean, and Mike Rizzo said it on the radio this week. They had the best season they've ever had in the minors. They have like an MVP at every single level.
Yeah.
It's something ridiculous, and every team is like winning, and it's insane.
Yeah,
just how
Harrisburg.
Yeah, but just how good like a lot of those teams are, and they're good because they have good players, and they have legitimate prospects at pretty much every level, except probably Double A.
Yeah,
but well,
that's interesting. You can see it, especially in their Arizona Fall League roster.
Yeah,
they sent a lot of people nobody has heard of.
Yeah. It's almost like, we don't care about this.
No. It's interesting. I think they just really wanted to try and find out what
the pitchers. Those
players were really. Yeah. The pitchers and Tony Renda's there.
Yeah. I think Tony Renda might be the only position player.
There's some other position player there. It was the same kind of thing. Like, but yeah, Matt Grace is there.
Yeah.
It's a lot of guys aren't. As they usually you use, it's like Bryce Harper, AJ Cole, Lucas Giolito, those kind of guys. Like the next thing, Mike Trout, those are the people usually you're sending to the Arizona Fall League. So it's a very interesting roster they've decided to send.
Yeah.
This year.
Yeah. So you trade Span, you get guys in the system. Mm-hmm. You have two outfielders. You have Souza and Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably a pretty good chance that one of them is going to be good.
Yeah.
Okay. So you probably, you know, let's just say you lose. Span's probably going to have a 4 WAR player this year, say. So he's 4 WAR. He'll probably be 3 WAR next year. I'm not going to go.
Yeah.
Maybe 2.5. Somewhere around.
Yeah. Probably. I'd say about 3, though. 3. He's been right around 3.
Okay. So you just career. Figure Michael Taylor's his best asset is his defense.
Yeah.
That's what everyone says. So you give him a bonus because he plays center field with good defense. He's already at like 1.5 WAR right there.
Oh, yeah.
So you figure his power, he'll hit maybe, let's just say he has a kind of a mediocre rookie year. He's about a 690 OPS.
Uh-huh.
But he hits 15 home runs.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and he goes out and he does that. That probably puts him right around 2.5. So he lost half a win. Okay. And then you got a couple probably decent prospects there for Denard Span. And you save $9 million, which would have been a bargain for him, but still $9 million on a team whose budget is starting to get big. And you used that $9 million to go out and you get a third baseman.
Yeah.
And I think you made the team better
that
way. And so you look at the Cardinals. You know, they go and they let Carlos Beltran go. And they go and they make the trade for Peter Borges, which didn't work out. Like, I knew it wasn't going to work out.
Yeah.
But they didn't give up anything they wanted.
Everybody knew.
And then, you know, but they replaced Beltran, not with, you know, but they had Tavares and they as a prospect. And they had, you know, John Jay in case he came back. And then they went and they signed Peralta to a different position than the one they lost. But, you know, they do that. When they lost Pujols, they signed Beltran. Not first baseman, but still, you know, you fill a different hole.
Yeah.
And you make that better than what it was before, and that's how you fixed it, losing a player like that. Because if you look at it, you're not – people say, well, how are you going to replace Span? Well, you're not replacing him with nothing. No. Even if you don't have someone as good as him, they're going to give you something. So you don't need to replace the whole gap. So the difference between Pablo Sandoval and what they've had at second is probably a lot bigger than...
We had this conversation 2 years ago with one Michael Morse when they brought in Span, and it's like, no, Span isn't going to just... don't expect the same thing from him, but he's going to plug a hole, and they're going to fix things around him. It's the exact same conversation with a different outfielder.
Wow. Crazy when you think about it.
Recycle them. Just get them out.
Well, that's how you know that's how
it's,
you do it.
Yeah, it's exactly
that's
how it works.
That's the formula. I think
you're doing things right if you're only trying to fill one spot as you go around.
And I think people overvalue individual prospects. But I think the whole, you know, the key to prospects is the S on the end. Because, you know, you have more of them. Because, you know, who knows what Brian Goodwin could suddenly have a breakout year in AAA next year.
Yeah.
He's a guy that gets called up and he's better than either Sousa or Taylor.
Yeah.
I mean, you have depth at that position. Outfield is where the Nationals have their depth.
Well, and I mean, look at where Michael Taylor came from. He was basically at the point that he was about to be written off in the organization.
Oh, yeah.
That he'd been in the organization for several years, hadn't done a whole lot, and then lit the world on fire in Double A this year. Okay.
Sousa, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Both of them had, like, Taylor had a pretty good year a couple years ago in, it was Hagerstown, right? And then they moved him up to Potomac, you know, 3 years ago, and then, no, last year they moved him up to Potomac, and he had a year.
I'm looking
at
right
him. Because he jumped up really high, and then he fell back again, and then he got to Double A and just started smoking bombs, and he's hit so many home runs this year.
He spent 2011 in A, he spent 2 years in A+, and that's this year he went up to Double.
Thank you. Yeah, so he had like one really good year, because I remember Bill Ladson wrote about him. He was one of his guys.
Oh, Lord.
He really liked Michael Taylor. He's like, hey, the team really is liking Michael Taylor. He's a raw athlete. They've moved to outfield. And then you just hear nothing about him for 2 years after that.
Yeah.
And then just like, bah.
Well, I mean, in 2012 at A+ ball, granted he was 20 at the time. I mean, an OPS of 680, excuse me. Math is hard.
He had good defense and he was fast.
Yeah.
He just needed to either not strike out anymore or hit for more power. And he chose the latter.
Yeah.
It's a good choice.
Yeah.
Actually hit that baseball, and when you do, make sure it goes far.
But again, we look at prospects, and Tyler Moore was, you know, older than Michael Taylor, but he was, again, a guy that hit for tremendous power in the minor leagues. Just never really found it in the majors. Because pitchers know, they go, oh, maybe I shouldn't throw the ball where he can hit it a long way.
And so they don't.
Right.
Yep.
And then they become Tyler Moore. Not the pitchers, the hitters. More specifically, Tyler Moore became Tyler Moore.
It's like, that pitch I can't hit. I should just keep swinging at it, right?
Eventually you'll hit it. Just keep trying.
Eventually you'll hit it. Just make sure you hit it.
It's kind of like we said with prospects. You have enough, eventually it hits. Just keep swinging. It'll be fine. It'll be good.
It's like the end of Signs. Just keep swinging.
I'm just amazed by how many of the
Imagine
Nationals...
that baseball is an alien's head.
Just how many of the Nationals' prospects are pitchers?
Just seems a lot.
It's like all these other teams are like struggling to find pitching prospects. And like, hey, we got that guy. Well, another one. Like, what's going on here? This isn't normal.
Tanner Roark. Tanner Jordan. Taylor Hill. With how long are these guys? I don't know, but they pitch pretty well.
It's like
Blake Treinen, just a throw-in on... Was he throwing... No, he wasn't throwing on Geo Deal. He used to throw in on the Moore Steel.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I was like, cool!
You know, like Austin Voth. He's like the new generation of the, you know, those guys.
Yeah.
Like, who's this guy just suddenly tearing up the...
Brad Peacock, wasn't he like 32nd or something?
Yeah.
And then he just started Lionel striking everybody out.
Peacock, he wasn't 32nd because it's like nobody thought he was signed. He was just not supposed to be good.
Yeah.
It's not like some of those things where you see Robbie Ray. It's like, wow, he was a 12th round pick. It's like, yeah, because he's coming out of high school with a very solid college commit nobody think they could sign him out of. That's not that impressive.
Oof.
What?
I'm just going through the quote-unquote prospect watch that's on MLB for the Nats.
Oh, yeah?
Jake Johansson plummeted.
Oh, yeah. Well, when you can't develop anything around a fastball that you can't even throw accurately.
He's sitting on, as of whenever this writing was, a 5.42 ERA at Hagerstown.
Oof. That's brutal.
Not what you want.
$1 million arm and a 10-cent head.
Need to get get a good catcher in there to set him straight.
Yeah.
Teach him not to hit people with his pitching hand.
God, I have a list of all the batters. That would be confusing. Organizational batting. To see who has the highest OPS in the entire minor league system.
Sammy Solis is dead, isn't he?
I do believe he got hit by a bus.
Him and Matt Perk. Yeah, that's why Harrisburg's so terrible this year.
It's all there.
The lack of Matt Perk.
Well, it was supposed to be Cole, Perk, and Solis down there. That's supposed to be a ridiculous rotation. And then Perk and Solis got injured in, I think, April.
Solis is going to be in the same boat that Perk is, right?
No, Perk... Solis isn't on a major league contract. like Perk is.
Oh, okay.
Perk is done. Well, Perk could come back on a minor league deal.
So Steven Souza is totally getting traded this offseason.
Oh, really?
Well, he's...
Oh, what, is he named...
No, he's going to be named it, though. He has a 1,019 OPS. He was the MVP of his league. I think he'll be the organizational batter of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that means he's getting traded.
Yeah. But behind him, the guy that's not like a guy on a rehab assignment, Davison Pimentel.
Tell you know he's good. Tell you know he's good.
He played for the... I don't even... He's from the Dominican, but his name is David...
He's from the Dominican.
Pimentel.
I was going to say, just
I don't even know how that name is.
Just give it to Matt. He'll know how to pronounce it.
Yeah, it's not a Hispanic name. When I see that name, I do not think Hispanic.
You see, exactly. He heard Dominican, and he thought Hispanic. That's racist.
It really isn't a name.
Pimentel.
Pimentel.
Right, that doesn't feel...
It doesn't Spanish. Sound like a... No, it doesn't sound Spanish
like
at all.
It's like a food name.
I was going to say, it sounds like some kind of an hors d'oeuvre.
It's not a name.
I would have...
Show you a name.
I would have the pimentos, please.
Let's see about this guy. Davison Pimentel.
Well, I feel bad. I'm sorry I made fun of you, Dave. That really isn't a name. For once, you were right.
Hey, Davison Pimentel. he's 17 years old.
I'll take two,
the
please.
Dominican Summer League, so not even really worth talking about as a prospect. He's so far away, so raw. Who even knows who he's facing, if he's actually facing humans down there?
So,
Jeffy Rodriguez.
We're going to talk about it.
Well, now, wouldn't he be better if he's facing robots?
Well, he's facing probably... I don't know if they have pitchers. Do they have pitching machines down there? What do they do?
How good are these robots?
What was that? What was that on Super Nintendo? Baseball 2000?
Baseball Wars?
No, it was Baseball 2000. It's like you could play as a robot team, and your pitcher was like this giant robot that just swung around and threw a baseball 1,000 miles an hour.
I should have known better. At that point, the Super Nintendo, was that late 80s, early 90s?
Mid-90s,
yeah. Because it came out in, what, 92?
Yeah.
God, there's a lot of these damn Dominican guys.
92 isn't really mid-90s.
I mean, Dominican
it's early to mid-90s.
All
right, early to mid-90s.
Its lifespan was early to mid-90s.
I was saying, so you'd think at that point they would kind of know you weren't going to have robots in the year 2000. I feel like you're safely...
I might be wrong. It might have been Baseball 3000.
Close enough to 2000.
I don't remember.
Yeah, maybe 3000.
Okay,
well,
now I got to Google it.
Well,
poor Dave is actually trying to make a point. Yes.
Don't care about your point.
I know.
You know what was better than that? Mutant League Football.
I never played it.
It was amazing. It probably doesn't hold up, but...
Well, here's something.
Before the N64, I don't know it.
Here's something
That's
actually...
That's unfortunate. There were a lot of good games before the Nintendo 64.
The guy's worth...
Did you ever play Chrono Trigger?
I'm going to kill one.
Oh, my God. That was a great game.
Can't kill all of us. I think one of us will probably be able to run fast enough.
Oh, there's another fun name. Telmito Augustin.
Yeah, they're fun enough, and then the fact that you're clearly
Victor
butchering
Robles.
Them into something that nobody could ever guess what the name actually is.
It's Israel Moto.
Even better.
But, you know, actual real names on here.
Al pinch-hitting for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Manny Mota. Mota.
Spencer Kaiboom had a good year.
Kaiboom.
Yes, and Jackson Reitz.
Oh, Spencer Kaiboom. He's going to the
AFL. Yeah, he's one of the ones added.
Yes. Jackson,
Kaboom.
Jackson Reitz, the Nats, I think, what,
third
round pick
this
year?
It's baseball, Super Baseball 2020 is what it was
2020?
Called. So in 6 years, that's what baseball is going to be like.
Great. But
there's no foul territory, by the way. If you hit it in the foul territory, it's in play.
Okay.
Hey.
But, I like that.
Jackson Reitz, after being drafted, had an 808 OPS. For the people listening that care about baseball, before I kill this
baseball,
I stab one of you two. I have two bottles, so I can actually stab both of you.
Yeah, we have
simultaneously.
And a glass.
I know, right?
No, that was, I think, the best. It was NFL Blitz, and they let you do late hits.
I never played
so much fun. Like, the game itself was terrible. Basically,
you
just
have a childhood and you never played NFL Blitz.
You know, I remember.
Did you ever call a play that wasn't da bomb in NFL Blitz?
No.
Was there any point to doing that?
You don't go into it going, you know what, I'm going to start establishing a running game, and then I'm going to start with some short passes to try and open it up.
Were I ever trying to run? I actually did try running playing one time in that game. You go nowhere. Immediately tackled.
I remember when that game came out, and I was like, oh, I need to play that game. And I just never did. Just never did.
Yeah, that's just late hits. It was the best.
You know what? That's one we're going to have to play in Extra Life.
I don't have Blitz.
Really?
Get it.
It's not on Steam or anything?
I'll show up if we're playing NFL Blitz. It's gonna slowly
Wait, weren't
keep...
you going to show up anyway?
I was going to say, I'm going to slowly keep ransoming my showing up to different more and more games.
The list is massive. I was talking about the other day.
So see where the foul lines are? They go backwards.
No one can see that, Matt.
Backwards?
Yeah, see? They go...
That's so weird. But there's still like a stadium.
Yeah, see, like got a cut.
Yeah, yes, Matt. I don't care.
I don't understand.
Me. Well, you should care, Dave.
The people of 2020 are very stupid. I don't like this. It's like there's still a stadium. It doesn't go infinite unless you're like jumping into the stadium. What if somebody hits it? Like, especially if you're in a Fitzner Stadium. It's very easy to hit it out in fail territory.
It's a home run.
Okay, so this game...
No, I don't think it's a home run. It's still in play. Somebody has to run out of the stadium and go get it. So now we've hit the Tim Tebow contest
This game came out in 1991. Clearly thought in 29 years the world was going to change drastically.
People thought that a lot.
People thought that.
What morons?
Oh, hasn't Skynet gone on Sydney?
Skynet's been self-aware since 2007.
Yeah?
That's a problem for me.
That was an 80s movie. That was quite a jump in there. It was 1980.
But if it was
82 is when it came out.
82.
But if it was
Terminator 2?
No, the first one. Terminator 2 came out in 92.
Yeah.
But they're only saying 29.
Yeah. I'm saying 25 is stupid. You should have known better.
I agree with that.
I mean, the funniest thing is everybody thinks the Jetsons is set in the 2000s. No, it's not. That is very much in the 3000s, or at least the 2060s.
That's actually what I was looking up, so let's see when it's set.
The Jetsons?
Yeah, I hate that show.
How do you hate the Jetsons?
What's wrong with you?
I never liked the Jetsons.
What's wrong with you?
A lot of stuff.
What about other Hanna-Barbera properties?
I don't want to talk about it.
Do you like Scooby-Doo?
Everybody likes Scooby-Doo.
You know, what the fuck is wrong?
Huckleberry Hound.
In 2062.
2062, yeah. What year was it? It was 1962.
Okay,
100 years.
Yeah.
That is realistic.
But
not as 25 years shit.
What are the Flintstones? You can't dislike the Flintstones.
I never liked the Flintstones.
What?
I'm sorry.
What is wrong with you?
Never liked.
How about the Grape Ape?
I don't think I ever watched it.
Is Captain Caveman Hanna-Barbera?
I think so.
I think so, yeah.
I just
Captain Caveman was alright.
The problem with me is I just assume all cartoons that look vaguely like that style are Hanna-Barbera. So I was shocked to learn Woody Woodpecker was not.
Yeah.
I was like, I always thought he was.
What about Yogi Bear? Can't possibly dislike Yogi Bear.
Of course I like Yogi Bear.
There you go.
There we go. Alright.
God.
You're one for... God. What is it?
I went to Yellowstone Park when I was a kid, and there was a park ranger there, and I said, where's Yogi? He said, oh, he actually took my picnic basket and ran away with it.
I mean, I think Hanna-Barbera had the first openly gay cartoon character.
Top Cat?
No, Snagglepuss.
Oh, Snagglepuss. I always get them confused.
Yeah.
Top Cat was the Brooklyn Cat. It's also a very unrealistic cartoon. Not many people were asking questions in where Top Cat lived. He just get in a taxi and said, drive me here. And the human taxi driver said, okay, cat.
Even worse, Skynet was activated in 1997.
Yeah.
Just 1982.
Stupid.
Come on.
Stupid, stupid.
Johnny Quest.
Johnny Quest is good.
Johnny Quest is good.
Space Ghost.
Ghost was amazing.
Wait, real Space Ghost?
Space Ghost.
Yes, that was the greatest one. That also is a great show, but that's not really Hanna-Barbera, technically. Z-Lab was terrible, though.
I didn't know the Fantastic Four was
good. Z-Lab 2021 was very good, though.
Whatever happened to all these cards? Like
McGilla Gorilla?
Yes. The Harlem Globetrotters?
Oh, they were everything.
Yeah.
That was... man. Nobody's ever come close to the branding the Harlem Globetrotters had.
Speed Buggy?
You lost me on that one.
Oh, actually, the original Terminator was 1984, so it makes it even worse. God.
James Cameron, you
13 years.
It gets worse.
How could you expect that? I don't know what's worse, that or that John Connor is like an 8-year-old was able to just hack an ATM machine. Ridiculous.
It is pretty.
Any other Hanna-Barbera's?
Smurfs.
They were? Really?
That's what it says.
Oh, who knew?
The Smurfs were? Wow.
Hanna-Barbera.
What was the knockoff Smurfs? They were like in the ocean. The
Snorks.
Yes.
Snorks. Oh my god. Yeah.
And then there was, that's my favorite. You don't see stuff like that.
And then there was one that they were underground. Fraggle Rock.
Yeah.
Fraggle Rock.
Well, that was the Henson Muppets. That was almost original. You never really see that kind of off-brand cheesing it.
There was another one where like they were like rolled up socks that came out at night.
That's kind of like,
up socks. Like, what?
I forget what it was called, but it was just weird.
It's kind of sleazy shit you just don't see anymore. It's too sanitized now. Somebody came up with an idea? That's their idea. We'll leave it for them. Nope. This is almost the same. It's like, everybody likes the Smurfs. What if we made them sea monkeys underwater? Huh. We called them the Snorks. Yes.
Hanna-Barbera was a co-producer with Cartoon Network on all of their ones from the mid-90s. Dexter's Laboratory, Johnny Bravo,
great
the Powerpuff
shows,
Girls.
By the way.
That's similar animation. Yeah. Just kind of updated.
I didn't realize that that was...
Yeah,
yeah, Cartoon Network Studios as a division
of
Hanna-Barbera.
There's no way they could have done Space Ghost Coast to Coast and C-Lab 2021 without permission.
Yeah.
So they're basically brought by Turner Broadcasting.
Yep. Some good stuff. So who was Woody Woodpecker? I can't even remember. Because he wasn't Warner or Hanna-Barbera. It was kind of like his own thing. That was my favorite
wasn't
cartoon
he like
as
WB
kid.
Or something?
No, WB is Warner.
Yeah.
He was on WB. I watched it as a kid.
Yeah.
It's a great cartoon.
Let's see. Woody Woodpecker.
I like him. He was just a giant asshole.
Yeah, when I was
hilarious.
When I was in high school,
actually,
they had both
giant assholes.
Like they had both the WB afternoon cartoons and like the Disney afternoon. They're both awesome.
Yeah.
And Animaniacs and Tiny Toon Adventures, WB, and Darkwing Duck, Tailspin.
Was it like American Bandstand or something?
No, it started with WB.
Huh.
It started with Warner.
I didn't think it was Warner.
But you know how Wikipedia has the different subtitles as you go all the way down?
Sure.
One of them is Post-War Woodpecker.
What a change! Wait, which war?
World War II.
Okay, that's what I thought. I just wanted to make sure.
He came back a gritty son of a bitch after that. You don't know what he's seen.
The best part of those cartoons, and like Bugs Bunny, and you just watch him. You watch him as a kid, you kind of noticed it, but you watch him as an adult now, it's like, damn, that guy is just a complete asshole.
United Artists.
United Artists, that's it.
That's who we went to after the fact. I say that like he's an actual person.
Yes. It was like Prince.
He renegotiated his contract.
Which was incredible at the time. Not many people were allowed to do such a thing with the reserve clause and all.
But it's amazing. Like Fox has kind of gone back to the old studio system where they just own actors.
Yeah. It's really weird.
Like, I'm like, is both Bones and New Girl are on Fox? I'm like, do they just own the Deschanels?
They got in early. They saw them as kids, and they went to the parents and went, let's go. Contract.
Well, my other favorite is, if you notice, in Universal does it a lot. You notice any movie that's Universal Studios, like, everybody who's a bit player in an NBC show is in that movie. That's like, you got, like, Kelly from The Office. Who else? Like, every SNL, Bill Hader, Kristen Wiig, that's like half their movies are them just being a little bit part in some Universal movie. It's so weird.
My favorite, though, is when like, you're watching a show like on CBS, and it's like, at the end, it's like, by ABC Studios. It's like, what?
Like, how did you do ABC?
Like, what?
How'd you screw that up?
Like, how'd this happen? Like, this is a completely different channel.
It's so weird. Golden Era was much simpler. You knew who they worked for. You knew what you were watching. It was definitely them. And there was five of them.
Yeah.
None of this cable crap.
Yeah.
Whereas you go to a channel, it's just a completely different channel now.
I think, you know, the whole Simpsons marathon thing has made me think that they need to do that like XM Radio does, or like the Elvis station. Just have Simpson
do, I think.
Television.
You can watch it all the time.
Oh, like have just a station like that. I got you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where it's just one, just that show just constantly.
Well, it's really funny if you notice that they once they got past, I want to say about season 8, I think it's the one with Hurricane Nettie. I think it might be season 7. After that, there's just nobody tweeted about it.
Nobody saw it. Yeah.
Like, it was insane. Everybody was talking about it, and then just said nobody. It's like,
well, and I saw all of those tweets, and all I could help but feeling like was Charlie Bucket from Charlie and Jock. I was like, how many did you open? Two. Just two.
Two. All-time great movie character is Charlie Bucket's teacher. That guy is awesome.
What do you mean you're poor?
That was my other favorite. He's just in the middle of a lesson. And then somebody, you know, kids are running around the hall. It's like, what's going on? They're giving tours to the Wonka Factory. Class dismissed. Let's go. No. You have to earn it. Oh, well, fuck that. Class undismissed. It's like, how do you earn it? Well, you get golden tickets and Wonka bars. You have to buy Wonka bars. Class redismissed. Let's go.
Yeah.
So what kind of teacher are you? It's like the middle of the day. You're just like, nope.
I remember being a kid and thinking, teachers can do that?
Like my favorite, I'm going to have to look it up. The favorite line is something, where some kid questions him, and it's like, oh no, oh shit, I'm going to look it up again. And I really hope it's on IMDb, because it's like the best line about being presumptive about knowing more than he does, because he's a teacher.
Well, alright.
So go ahead, and I'm just going to cut back in randomly.
I was watching some of the Simpsons episodes yesterday, and they...
God, I wish I could watch that. I don't have that...
I think people just are under this, like...
They're going to be streamable here soon.
Yeah.
But, I mean...
Streaming's going to be difficult, okay? Here's the problem is, you're going to go on there and be like, okay, I want to watch a Simpsons episode. You're like, all right, I'm going to look for the one I want to watch. And then, like, 3 hours later, you're like, I'm going to watch the monorail one. You're like, I should have decided that before.
Put Shelbyville and Ogdenville on the map, by gum.
And work your way through.
Right, but I think...
I want to watch the monorail episode.
Two best quotes. Are you okay?
Yeah.
I've just decided to switch our Friday schedule to Monday, which means that the tests we take each Friday and what we learn during the week will now take place on Monday, before we've learned it. But since today is Tuesday, it doesn't matter in the slightest. Pencils ready? And then my absolute favorite line, of course you don't know. You don't know because only I know. If you knew and I didn't know, then you'd be teaching me instead of me teaching you. And for a student to be teaching his teacher is presumptuous and rude. Do I make myself clear?
Yeah, I need to watch that movie again. I don't remember the teacher being that witty.
But, you know...
Well, hell, he's only in that movie for what?
Like two lines, yeah.
Yeah. Charlie Bucket, how many did you open? Two. That's easy. 200 is twice 100. Not 200, just two. Two? What do you mean you only opened two? You care very much for chocolate. Well, I can't figure out just two. So let's pretend you opened 200.
Oh, so he's Neil Greenberg.
Yeah. Oh, what a great... Yeah, that's it. They have four quotes from it. It's those four scenes. And those are the best scenes. Most underrated movie character.
Yeah, I recorded a bunch of the Simpsons episodes and from like Homer's enemy.
Oh, that's my favorite.
Frank Grimes.
You turn on your DVR and just get pissed off. And you're like, none of these are the monorail episode.
Well, I missed the monorail.
I love Frank Grimes.
So do we think...
Because I'm Homer Simpson.
So do we think that it's not going to cost anything to stream that?
You probably will have to have... It'll show that you... You have to show that you have a cable subscription.
Verizon, does that count?
Sweet.
Yeah. Well, I would imagine that's what a lot of people are going to.
You have to have just a cable subscription, or if you need a cable subscription that has FXX or something.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Or it could just be, for some reason, inexplicably free. In which case, I mean, you'd have... It'd probably be like Hulu, and you'd have ads.
I'd take ads.
But the coolest thing is...
If we're talking like regular commercials. Searchable,
so you can like put in a quote... And it's supposed to have like a lot of metadata.
So it's like a Google for Simpsons.
Yeah, well, essentially, awesome. Like the way they're going to upload the videos, and they're going to put like a lot of metadata of like the script and stuff. So if you say, you just put a Simpsons quote in, and I'm guessing, this might not.
Is there a chance the tracks could bend? You want to watch the monorail episode?
It's not that hard to do. So I think they could do it and just make it an XML and basically say, hey, search for this quote. And it finds a quote and returns the episode that quote's from, and then you can watch the episode.
I'm going to search for
Or you could just Google it.
If it works like that.
Oh, crap.
That would be great. I know that's the issue I've heard a lot of people have with the WWE stuff that came out, their network, is that trying to search for certain things is a nightmare.
Yeah, trying to search is very bad.
It's not tagged. All the stuff isn't tagged.
That's weird.
Yeah.
So wait, isn't I don't have MLB TV, so I don't know for sure, but isn't that searchable?
It could be. I have it, but I haven't tried to search it.
Try. Mm-hmm. It's the same. MLB Advanced Media does the WWE.
Yeah, but they sort of like you search for like a wrestler's name, and they'll give you like three clips of like really minor things.
Yeah.
But they won't give you like the whole pay per view that they were like in the main event match on.
Who's the guy that killed people?
Chris Benoit.
Yes. Apparently they have his matches, but he's not tagged, so you have to physically go in and find those if you want to watch them.
Yes, and they have a warning before. Any event with him in it.
Really?
The views expressed are not... like, that basically this guy went insane.
Yeah.
But there's been other wrestlers that have killed people before.
It's old hat?
No. But like that was really old. Like long. Like there was promoters back in the territory days that if their wrestler got in a bar fight and lost, they would fire them, because back then it was supposed to, you know, they were trying to pass it off as real. So if a guy got beat up by some guy in a bar, how could you take it as, you know, he's a guy in a wrestling match?
Right.
So the wrestlers back in the day had to legitimately be tough guys, and they were encouraged to go out to bars and start fights and to do stuff like that, because it would be promotion, free promotion.
Ah, the good old days.
Yeah.
Now, if they make it searchable and free, my God, I'd never leave the house.
Yeah, but I think the problem people have with TV shows, like good TV shows, is that the first 8 seasons of The Simpsons is amazing.
It is. It's
probably some of the best TV ever. Mm-hmm. But like 9 and 10 are still good, still probably better than most stuff on TV, and it's still probably better than most stuff on TV. Like the one where Homer goes on a hunger strike because the isotopes
are moving. Oh, I love that one.
That's
action season. I'll be quirky.
Albuquerque. So there's,
yeah, that's a pretty late one, isn't it?
It's not. That's like season 10.
So. Yeah. Well, that's considered late to many people.
Yeah, because they're.
They started in, what, 89?
Yeah.
Wow.
And actually started on the Tracy Ullman show. Milkshake. But I still think, like, if you. You know,
frosty chocolate milkshakes. Yeah.
If you watched it today, it's still probably better than most of what's on TV.
Yes, that's not hard to do though.
When you know you have stuff like Big Bang Theory winning Emmys.
Yeah. Modern Family.
Modern Family's good.
That was my favorite tweet. Somebody said it's like my favorite episode of Modern Family is that one where they all do a big wrap up lesson at the end. And a voiceover. It's like, hey, that's my favorite episode of Scrubs too.
You know what I'm surprised didn't win more or win anything was Orange is the New Black. Did anybody watch that show?
No.
A great show. My God, watch it. Seriously.
I watched the pilot. That was okay.
Watch the show. It's good stuff.
No, I'm not going to watch it.
All right.
But for my prison shows, I prefer Oz.
The real shit.
It was back before HBO, before they were like known as having TV. Like Oz came out like 2 years before The Sopranos. Then The Sopranos came out like, oh, they have TV. It's like they had shows.
Well, it's not TV. It's HBO.
Get it straight, Dave.
All right. They had a couple shows. What did they have before they had even Oz? Tales from the Crypt.
God, I remember Tales from the Crypt.
Does that really count as TV, though?
Yes. It's a TV show.
It is a show that airs on television. Yes.
Those words are true.
What is this? Tales from the what?
Crypt.
Really?
You don't know that?
Oh my God.
It's like Tales from the Dark Side.
Only from the Crypt.
He was.
What is Tales from the Dark Side?
It's like a slightly darker version of Twilight Zone.
Okay, well now you've hit one I know.
Outer Limits.
Outer Limits was a great and honorable show in the way that it was pretty cheesy. Okay, but that's beside the point.
What channel is Tales from the Crypt on?
It was on HBO.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I remember because I was so excited when I got to watch it, and it was so disappointing, but I still liked it.
Wait, who voiced the Crypt Keeper? Someone who famous.
I know, but that guy was quirky.
Let me look it up. The guy who voiced, I think it was Frank Oz that voiced the Crypt Keeper.
Josh Outman.
He gets outs, man.
Well, the Yankees are banking on it, apparently. The Crypt Keeper. Man, I remember because, you know, like I used to stay up late on weekends when I was a kid and try and watch that
show.
And
they had the movies, too.
What? The
Tales from the Crypt movies?
I don't remember those.
Demon Knight with Billy Zane.
Billy Zane.
They had one with Dennis Miller in it.
Thanks, Billy Zane. God, Billy Zane. Wow.
John Kaiser was the Crypt Keeper.
I don't even know who that is.
He was in Pocahontas.
I don't even know who that is. Pocahontas, the Disney movie?
Yes.
Did he play John Smith?
No, that was Mel Gibson.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. You know what was a good movie? The Patriot. It was a good movie.
It was. Oh, I recorded the Mel Gibson episode of The Simpsons.
Oh, what episode?
All in favor, say die.
Yeah.
I don't remember that one.
Homer's version of Mr. Smith goes to Washington.
Oh, right. Okay.
I forgot all about it. I had to remind myself.
All in favor, say
and then he did like the chicken thing where he runs on the floor shooting the gun. So bad. And they were like, this is going to ruin your career. And he's sitting there. He's like, no, it's not. And then they're all watching it. And he's like, this is terrible. That was a great episode. Itchy and Scratchy Land. That was a good episode. Where nothing can possibly go wrong.
That's the first thing
that's ever gone wrong. Ominous music plays.
I missed the Scorpio episode, too.
Scorpio.
How'd you miss that one? That was great.
Scorpio episode.
The supervillain guy.
You can only move twice.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, Homer, I give you a football team. Oh, the Denver Broncos.
He wanted the Dallas Cowboys. The
Broncos are a great team.
Was that
you don't know anything about football, Marge.
The funny thing is, I remember I saw that episode, and I think that was the year the Denver Broncos won the Super Bowl.
Well, they had the Super Bowl episode, too, where they're like, the Denver Broncos.
My favorite team is the Atlanta Falcons. It's like, the Super Bowl, that's great. My favorite team is there. The Denver Broncos. Hey, aren't they playing the Atlanta Falcons? Yes, I think the Denver Broncos are playing the Atlanta Falcons. Yeah. I can't remember what their there was one last part of it where they said something like that, and it was like something they already knew, and it just made no sense. But I said they legitimately did that because they didn't know who was going to be in the Super Bowl.
So I do remember that. So they did
dub it back in.
I remember that.
So I just looked it up. The service will allow authenticated FX users to search for specific
quotes. So you have to have FXX?
It says authenticated FX users, so I don't know if you need FX.
Because I have FX.
It may just be that you need to have FX.
That'd be pretty badass.
From your FX computer, the channel phone, that iPad, etc. Xbox. You can have. Apparently, it looks like they're going to have an app on your Xbox.
Well, damn.
I just like having the TV where I turn on and a Simpsons episode is playing.
That's a pretty nice TV. I like that TV.
I would like the Simpsons channel. Just, you know, so I don't have to really work and look for it. I can just turn it on and there it's playing.
God, what season are they on now?
Probably like 12. Oh, the actual show?
Yeah.
Think about this.
25?
25 is already on iTunes, so.
So 27. Wow.
Coming would be 26.
So they didn't have a Treehouse of Horror in the first season. So it started the second season. But think about this. So they've had 24 Treehouse of Horrors. Most TV shows for a season are 24 episodes. They could actually run, like they could do Treehouse of Horror Tuesday on FX.
They could have a season. A
season of just Treehouse of Horror.
That's fucked up. I like it. God, if I can stream The Simpsons, you guys will never see me again. I'm sure your hearts will be broken.
All work and no beer make Homer something.
Something. Go crazy. Don't mind if I do. Goes fucking
you have crazy. The shitty. Don't you mean The Shining? Why do you want to get sued?
The one with the... my name is Sherry Bobbins. Did you say... I definitely did not say...
I like how... Grandpa Simpson in that episode took the umbrella, and then at the end of it she just takes her umbrella from him inside a tree. He like crashed into a tree and just never left. What was the quote? I don't remember the episode, but when Homer was he was leaving and he went through the garage or something like that, and Grandpa Simpson is outside and he was like, oh, I'm finally out of there. He goes, get back in the garage, old man. He goes, but it's cold in there, and there's spiders in the boxes. Stay out of my boxes. Jeez. That was the part that got me. He's like, stay out of my boxes.
Remember when you had that hypnosis to tune out Grandfather? I think he's saying something important now.
He's so mean to his dad.
I don't know. I think maybe they'll have a resurgence now. Marathon. People are like, oh yeah, I remember that show. Still on.
I know. Like, hey, that was right. Good. How'd you do that? Looking at here. Have this one. Yeah, this one. No. Yeah, have those.
Okay. I don't know if I can do that again. That might have just been dumb luck. Yeah, that was just dumb luck.
Yeah. Well,
I'm kind of scared because that one you were definitely aiming at me. It's not nice. Because I happen to stop paying attention to what's happening. It doesn't mean you can shoot bottle caps at me.
So, Dave, you brought up something today.
Did I?
That was just absolutely asinine.
Did I?
So, regular day at the office.
Mm-hmm. I said, Taylor Swift is awesome. You ready to admit it?
No, that was last week.
Oh.
He already admitted it. I'm the one who refused to admit it here. God, I hate that fucking song. Catherine loves it.
We'll just have to tie you down and make you listen to it more.
Oh, okay. Okay, because Catherine hasn't already done that.
Sounds like a weird home life if she's tying you down and you listen to the song.
Matt, keep your sex life out of the show.
At any rate, I was kind of surprised because she's talking about how people say she's dumb. I'm like, I don't think she's dumb. I just think she's weird.
I don't know how she's weird. That doesn't make... Miley Cyrus is weird.
Miley Cyrus is weird.
Taylor Swift seems fairly normal.
I say she's weird because she seems to, like, instantly start dating somebody, then think they're the one, write an entire album about it. Then the moment they dump her, she writes an entire album about that.
So she's a girl, but instead of a diary, she has albums.
I guess that's accurate. I still find it weird.
I actually
that's
think...
probably a better way to deal with that is, okay, I'm just going to make a shit ton of money then.
Yeah,
that's true.
I mean, if you think about it, she's actually basically writing 90s pop punk from a female perspective.
I guess that's true.
Like, what's the difference between her and the All-American Rejects?
She actually has followers and people who like her.
That's true. There you go.
That's the big difference.
Okay. Now, what were you going to say?
But actually, what came up was there is a subsection of people who think that Steven Strasburg would be better suited as a closer in the playoffs.
Oh, my God. Now, one I of believe those, we said those people need to die.
One of those people is Christopher Mad Dog Russo. Who, I'll let James tell you what he thinks of Christopher Mad Dog Russo.
I actually don't think anything of him because I've never listened to him.
Well, good. You shouldn't.
Wait, where do you listen to him, though, just because I'm curious?
I don't listen to him.
But where does one listen to
him? He's on MLB Network.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And sometimes he's on MLB Network radio. Like, I accidentally forget to change it, and I just hear, and then I change the station.
Is that what he sounds like?
Yes.
Interesting.
I've never made out a word he says, but apparently he was saying that Steven Strasburg should be a closer in the playoffs.
Well, that's stupid.
Because clearly the David Price model.
Speaking of David Price, sorry to interrupt.
No.
See the one they have a commercial for, and he's yelling about how the trade for David Price has handed Detroit, the Tigers, the AL pennant.
Yes.
And they just keep running it.
Yeah.
And I think my favorite person is like, are they trying to make it look like they just yell things that are often incorrect? Oh, yeah, probably, I guess. It's a very accurate portrayal.
Yeah. But he's one of them. But then there were other people on other shows that were saying the same thing, that Steven Strasburg should close in the playoffs, despite the fact that he's... You know, even if you're just looking at ERA, he's been one of the four best starters.
Yep.
And if you're looking at win-loss rate, you're an idiot. Really, I think you look at Doug Pfister's last two starts, and that's sort of, you know, he's starting to regress to the mean a bit. I mean, hopefully he's not going to be that bad again. But that's just what happens is he wasn't going to finish the season with an under 3 ERA. He's just not that pitcher.
That's true.
And neither is Tanner Roark, really.
That's true.
So we're probably going to see some evening out before the season ends.
Yep.
And then people may admit that Jordan Zimmermann had a good year this year.
Nope.
Had a what?
Who? See, even Siri didn't get that.
How did Siri get activated in my pocket? What's going on?
I have no idea. So, according
to... Who is Jordan Zimmermann?
According to FWAR...
He's some pitcher who plays some game.
According to FWAR...
She knew it was a pitcher. She knew it would be baseball.
Shut up. Ranks in at number 7 in the NL. You look at XFIP, and he's behind Kershaw, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And the gap between him and Kershaw is just... Yes. Kershaw in the field is just ridiculous.
It is. Yes.
Kershaw sits at a 203 and Strauss is at a 262 in second place.
Kershaw's on another planet right now.
Hopefully, like Poochie, he'll return to his home planet. Die on the way there.
I have to go home now. My lips aren't moving, but I'm still talking.
Yes, well.
My planet needs me.
I just hope that...
they killed Poochie.
Strasburg in his last month. I hope he has like just an amazing month of September. Just destroys everything. And people go, he's that good guy.
Yeah, and then ESPN had a piece today about Harper. Why? Again, not living up to his expectations.
Can we just burn ESPN down? Where are they headquartered?
Connecticut. Bristol, Connecticut.
Can we burn it?
The entirety of Bristol, Connecticut?
Yeah. No. Why not?
There are a lot of people who don't work for ESPN who live there.
All right, fine.
That'd be kind of a dick move.
Well, there's always going to be collateral damage.
You see, Dave understands.
Well, and I get done reading it, and I'm like, okay, so this piece is kind of shit. Hop on Twitter and look at it, and Mark Zuckerman is right down there going, hey, there's some good stuff on ESPN about Harper.
Maybe he just wanted to stir the pot.
About how if he can ever put his, you know, newfound wisdom and his hard work at the game together, maybe he'll live up to his expectations.
Maybe.
Maybe he just wanted to stir the pot.
What are these expectations? I can't believe how impressive they'd be that he hasn't lived up to them yet.
That he would have won 3 MVP awards by now?
Wow.
Well, and I put this on Twitter. Anytime you see the national media talking about him, they ignore the last 2 years. His 1,100 plate appearances that he has, like an 835 OPS in over the last 2 years, those don't mean anything. He is a 716 right now, so he sucks, and he's not good.
Right, despite the fact that that's above league average. For a 21-year-old. Now, where's Jurgensen Profar?
Now, to be fair, he did list...
Jurgensen Profar, is that what he said?
Jurgensen.
Sounded like he said Jurgensen.
Jurgensen.
Jerk-ass Profar.
I don't care. In the piece, he did list out other notable prospects, you know, can't-miss kind of guys that aren't doing so hot. But he also mentions Mike Trout, and any time that you're bringing up someone not going to their expectations, you can't bring up Mike Trout because he's the exception.
Right.
He is not the fucking rule.
He didn't have those expectations.
No, if he had those expectations, he would have been the number one pick that year.
Let's see, where's all the players in the National League? All right, no, that doesn't give me all the players. I gotta go to Fangraphs for all the players. Well, no, Fangraphs doesn't have age. Fuck you, Fangraphs.
You can add age.
Okay, I don't want to add age. I want to just have all the players.
All the players.
Don't want leaders. I just want all the players. I just want a list of players. I know they have it somewhere.
What's the point you're trying to make?
I just want to see how many other players in MLB this year are 21 years old.
They said that before...
Javier Baez?
Yes. Before Baez came up, he was the youngest player in the NL for every day of his career.
And the only one younger than him in the AL was Rougned Odor, the guy who replaced Jurgensen Profar.
Yes.
Let me see. Let me put up 0 plate appearances and see what comes up. Jason Giambi's 43? Holy shit.
Jason Giambi's only 43.
Jorge Polanco and Rougned Odor are 20. Machado, Mookie Betts, Javier Baez, Luis Sardinas, Xander Bogarts, Jose Ramirez, Jose Fernandez, and Domingo Santana are all 21.
Mm. How's Manny Machado doing this year?
He's dead.
Yeah, he died.
He died.
He got hit by a bus or something.
Everybody got hit by a bus with you.
755 OPS, a 332 WOBA.
Okay. Now, how is Bryce Harper doing since the All-Star break?
Good.
I know. But
no, he's not. What's the opposite of that? He's good. Doing that. Oh, okay.
Let's see. Here's the second half.
Confusing, huh?
Yeah, it is really confusing.
How long does it take you to pull this up?
It decided to get rid of my custom table when I changed it to second half.
Oh.
And then reordered it based on war again. It took out age.
Okay.
Which was super cool.
So it's to be you.
That was nice of it.
Yeah, I was extremely pleased when it did that. Especially since Harper's on page like 3 right now. If you're going by war. Oh, no further than that. Holy balls.
What are you looking for?
I'm trying to find Bryce Harper in this list.
Of what?
By war of all players.
This year?
Yeah.
The second half.
The second half. He's still going to be kind of low.
But he's been good, but he hasn't been...
He's only been like 0.5 this year.
Yeah.
He's a 0.4 right now.
You could just search Bryce Harper.
This is awful.
It is. You guys are terrible at filling airtime.
Well, what do we do? All right. If we fill airtime, we're going to start talking about something completely different. Never get back to this point.
Probably.
Yes.
The slash line for the second half.
And we finally have it.
Really, this is your fault, TJ.
746. OPS, a 360.
That's pretty good.
335 WOBA.
That's pretty good.
So, Questions? Do we have any?
Dicks. I'm out of talking things.
Yeah.
We got... that one we're not going to answer.
I'm curious what the question is now.
We'll discuss it off the air.
Fair enough.
Who do we hate the most?
No.
Oh, wait, no, we know that.
No, already. it's just a dumb question that I'm not going to answer. And I'm not even going to put on here. Which is a dumber idea, Matt Williams as manager of the year or Slapshot 2?
That's a tough one.
The manager of the year award is really the team that improved the most award.
It's going to be the Brewers, right?
Right. I think it'd be Ron Rennecke.
Yeah.
Even though he's a terrible manager. I don't really think Ron Rennecke shifting against right-handed hitters. Just the stupidest thing I've ever seen. So yeah, let's just open this big hole. I'm going to hit the ball that way.
Yeah, it's tough to... There's nothing really else that you can measure a manager on. Aside from, did your team win? Okay, good.
We need one of O'Hara's flow charts. Did your team win? Yes. Manager of the year!
Are you supposed to win? No.
Manager of the year!
Way to go. Congratulations.
You did a good job.
So I really don't think Matt Williams is going to get it. I don't know.
It's got to be Ron Rennecke.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, the Nationals have improved, but I feel like the improvement hasn't been that drastic.
He would have to come
drastic.
In. This would have to be a 120-win team.
I mean, the Nationals won 86 games last year. Like, they didn't make playoffs, but
I mean,
they still played well.
The talent is there, and they already have kind of the hype behind them of, oh, they're going to be good. And, I mean, what we're joking about is absolutely right. It's the team that you're like, oh, they're not going to be good, and they win a division.
Right,
the Brewers were picked, what, fourth in their division?
Yeah.
They're going to win the damn thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's your
God, they've done
factor.
That, and they had Marco Estrada starting for them for a while.
That's how important
something,
the fifth
something,
starter is.
Something happened there.
Okay, next question.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
All right, we win.
So, anything else?
I invented ASCAP. Fuck all of you people trying to take credit for it.
There's people trying to take credit for it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because
one of them tried to say that Jacobeam did it. And I was like, he came back like 2 weeks after it.
Yeah.
Are you not blocked by that guy yet?
No.
What are you doing wrong?
Being nice, I guess.
I was nice to him and he blocked me. I don't even know what happened.
Probably because you eat meat.
He blocked
me. I'm probably, yeah. Don't ever mention anything about delicious hamburgers.
Delicious hamburgers.
Bacon cheeseburgers.
Okay, I'm cutting this off. We'll see you next week.